41 will come. 41 will come. Josh is shouting at me because I haven't got my microphone on. Sorry, Josh. He's not shouting at me because that would include raising voices in church, which we're not allowed to do with face masks on. He's waving his arms at me. All right, we're looking at 41 will come. 40 in biblical numerology is the number of testing. And what we've been looking at over the past few weeks is just looking at the instances in the Bible where we've seen events taking place over a period of 40, whether that's 40 days or 40 years. And the first one we looked at was Noah and how it rained. When they first went into the ark, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And how in that 41 will come, the day of that testing would be over. And Noah would rest in the fact that God's presence was there with them in the ark. And the fear that he may have gone through at the beginning of the rains, as he wondered if the pitch would hold, if the ark had been put together correctly, and just knowing that 41 would come. And then last time we looked at Moses. And we looked at the three periods of 40 years in Moses' life. Those first 40 years where Moses was looking forward. He knew that he was meant to deliver Israel from Egypt, but he took matters into his own hands. And he was waiting for that day. 41 would come, and he kind of messed up a little bit. And then he spent 40 years in the desert looking within, just reminding himself of what he'd done and, you know, what he'd gone through, but knowing that that 41 would come. And it came in the guise of the Lord appearing to Moses in the burning bush. And then for the next 40 years, Moses looked up and just relied upon the Lord, and he saw God's purpose through those times of testing. And what I want to look at tonight is not God's presence or purpose, but in these next 40 days, I want to look at the 12 spies and God's provision. The 12 spies in Numbers 13 were sent to spy out the promised land. They were sent into the land of Canaan, and they were to go the length and breadth of the land, and they spent 40 days just surveying the land. And we won't read the whole of chapter 13. We'll go from verse 17 to 25, and then we'll read a little bit more in chapter 13, and we'll read some of chapter 14 as well through the course of the message. So in verse 17 of chapter 13 of Numbers, it says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what is the and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bared it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together. Tonight, we thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, we recognize that there are many instances in our lives where we go through a period of testing. These are not always periods in our lives that we appreciate at the time. Oftentimes, when 41 eventually comes for us, we recognize where you've brought us through, where what you've brought us from, and we are thankful for the lessons we've learned. But at the time of that testing period, we don't always appreciate it. We often forget the purpose in it. But Father, I just pray that in this situation, that in this time of testing we look at tonight, you would help us to see your provision, that you were there in the midst there. You were there with us through the times of trouble and the times of trial, through the valleys that we face. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage us tonight to know that these testings, these trials, these difficulties will not last forever. That we can take comfort in the fact that one day 41 will come. So Father, we just pray now that you would bless our time together tonight. Speak to us through your word, for we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So the land was searched for 40 days. And as we said earlier, 40 in biblical numerology is a time of testing. And it was really interesting. I was watching a couple of comments last week after last week's message on Facebook. And Alicia doesn't mind me. I'm not picking on you. This was encouraging. So Alicia just put a comment on Facebook saying 41 will come. And it was incredible how many responses she had from that, saying, well, what are you on about? What are you on about 41 will come? What does that mean? And she was explaining, and then when you go through difficulties, you know, 41 is coming. A lot of people thought she was lying, that she was pretending to be 40, and that her 41st birthday was next. So there was a lot of people calling it out, and I think some of the comments were rude and unjustified. And so she had an opportunity to explain, well, no, it, you know, 40 is a time of testing, and 41 will come. And I think one of the comments was, well, I hope you were 41 will be okay. I think it was... It was that, I wasn't going to mention her name just in case, but in a good way. So, I'm saying that to say this. You know, these men, in this 40 day period, you know, they didn't know that 41 would come, but would it turn out okay? And sometimes, it doesn't turn out okay. Because we fail to recognize the lessons that God's teaching us. So sometimes, you know, we can get excited and say, oh look, 41 is coming, 41 will come, these times of testing, these times of difficulties, these times of trials are going to be over. Sometimes we can get to that 41st day, as it were, in our moment of trials, and completely miss the lessons that the Lord is trying to teach us. So how do we recognize the lessons? How do we learn those lessons? How do we get to a point where we know, right, I'm going to learn from this trial. I'm going to learn from this difficulty. I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm not going to try and suss it out for myself. I'm not going to try and work it out. I'm not going to try and comprehend it. I'm just going to give this into the Lord's hand and say, Lord, whatever direction you need me to go in, I'm just resting upon your strength. My hope is completely in you. The incredible thing is this. You know, we can look back on times like this and think, why did they make those mistakes? Why didn't they get it? Why didn't they understand it? How stupid could you be? But what if we were in that position? I would love to say that, yeah, I would have had the faith to do this. But we've got the hindsight of God's word to know that you should have just taken that step. But when we put ourselves, I'm not saying we're in similar situations. We haven't gone to spy out a land and to try and take on literal physical giants and... But we do face certain giants in our lives. Whether it's the giant of fear, whether it's the giant of criticism, whether it's the giant of financial worry, whatever it might be, we face certain giants in our lives. And sometimes we fail to conquer them. Sometimes we fail to rest in the Lord's strength. And then we find ourselves repeating that 40-day cycle again. All of these things, Paul told us, that the children in the wilderness, the bronze snake, it was all for our example. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Here's the thing. Canaan represented freedom and plenty for the children of Israel. You know, they had wandered, they hadn't wandered for the 40 years yet, but they'd wandered for a couple of years up to this point. They had journeyed, they had been in the wilderness, they'd been fed the manna, they were still living in tents. God had brought them to the promised land, and it was a representation of plenty. It was a representation of freedom. They would no longer be slaves back in Egypt. They wouldn't be wandering in the wilderness. They could go into their own land, they could go in to their own home, and they would have absolutely everything. Canaan represented freedom and plenty. You know, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. We ought to recognize the freedom that we have in Christ, but sometimes we kind of shackle ourselves. Sometimes we kind of hold on to bits from our past, and it's like a ball and chain around our ankle that we drag through life with us. What we have in Christ, the sin has made us free. The truth of God's word sets us free. But how many times do we get defeated by listening to the world's lies, by listening to Satan whispering lies in our ears? God had so much in store for them in Canaan. Canaan represented rest and stability. They'd been traveling and they'd been wandering, and it wasn't a 40-year journey, but they had traveled for a couple of years at this point. And they had the opportunity to rest. They had the opportunity to set up their home. The Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And sometimes we come to the Lord, but we don't fully appreciate his rest. It's as if the Lord pulls up a chair for us, but we refuse to sit in it. I've never understood that. You know, Joe suffers with her back, and the amount of times I said, love, sit by her now. No, I'm okay. But there's a chair and your back is struggling. And no, in case somebody else wants to sit there. So that doesn't make sense. Sit in the chair. I don't want to sit in the chair. I'll sit in the chair then. Oh, well, that's a bit selfish. Joe, every time we come home from church, Joe's like, people must think I'm a monster to live with. And do you know what? She is. She's a nightmare. It's really hard work. You don't understand the half of what I've got to go through. Hard done by. But we have rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's as if the Lord pulls up that chair alongside us and says, child, just rest a while. Child, rest in my strength. Child, rest in my promises. And we say, no thanks, I'd rather stand. Canaan represented rest for them. They had the opportunity to win. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided a rest for us, and sometimes we fail to enjoy it. Canaan represented their home, but they didn't take what was theirs, what was rightfully theirs. You know, we have our abode in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we're kind of holidaying in the world. But we need to appreciate the home that we have in Christ. You know, for 40 days, these 12 spies went through the land. And they would have faced fears. They would have faced anxiety. But for two of those spies, they were going, 41's coming. 41's coming. Can't wait to get back. And to say to the nation, right, here's our land. Here's what God has promised us. Here's the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. We can't wait for 41 to come. And there were 10 spies going, oh, I don't want 41 to come. Oh, you talk about people being glass half full. They didn't even put any water in their glass. Oh, can't be done. Oh, we've never done like that before. Ever had one of those builders? This is what I'd like to do. All right, okay. Thanks for destroying all my dreams in one sigh. You ever done that, boys? Looking at my builders now. You never done that. Have you always gone, yeah, we make that work. As long as you can pay the bill, I'll make it work. I used to love that. I go, Dad, can I... That was one of the most disappointing and disheartening sounds that just crushes a child's soul. Dad, can I have... Thanks, Dad. For 10 spies, that was their attitude. Can't be done. For 2 spies, I can do all things. 2 spies, 41 would come. And they were looking forward to it. For 10 spies, 41's come in. We don't really know what's going to happen next. They returned from searching the land after 40 days in verse 25. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Brilliant. This is what God has on offer for us. This is the fruit. Look at it. You can't even believe the size of these grapes. But, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the city of the walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. The spies come back and they said, it's just like God said. It's incredible. This place is awesome. The fruit is massive. The land really does flow with milk and honey. It's absolutely unbelievable. You'd never guess what's there. It's incredible. Oh, the blessings of God is unbelievable. It is just fantastic. But, nevertheless, can't be done. We can't do it. It's impossible. The people are too strong. There's giants. The walls are too big. The cities are too powerful. They were just fearful. But not only were they fearful, they were disobedient to God's word. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. They had defeated themselves. They said, oh, we can't take a city. The city's too powerful. We're done. We're defeated. Well, you haven't even tried. It's like, oh, yeah, 41's coming. But. Oh, yeah, 41's coming. I'm almost at the end of this trial. I'm almost out of my valley. I'm almost getting to that mountaintop. I can almost see the light at the end of the tunnel. 41's coming. Oh, but. I know God answers prayer, but I know I shouldn't live this way, but I know I should, I should do more for the Lord, but I know I should, but I know the Bible says, but Israel failed to consider what God had said to them. When a person is focused so much on the problem and the obstacles, we'll always fail to see God. Now that's easier said than done, because natural instinct causes us to worry. How many of us have lost hours, nights of sleep because we worried about the situation we find ourselves in today? Now you might be a super Christian and you might say, I'm not a day worry. Giving it to the Lord, going to get through this, no problem. But praise the Lord for that. But there's been nights where I've worried. Oh, I know the Bible says, but. Oh, I know I've prayed about this, but. It's like we kind of don't really want 41 to come. We're like those 10 spies sometimes. I know the blessings are just around the corner. I know if we can get through this trial. I know if we can get through this difficulty. God's blessings are just on the other side. God's blessings are at 41. But you know what? I don't know if I really want to move out of that 40. I don't know if I want to really trust God and step out in faith. The people are really freaked out. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up all at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, the majority of people listen to the 10 spies report, and then the nation is just absolutely freaked out. How incredible and how quickly a group of people can get absolutely freaked out. Because of something that's put on in the media. Because of something that's put on social media. And the world can get whipped up into a frenzy. Even by information that's false. Because it's out there. On the airwaves, on the internet. It doesn't take much. The people are alarmed. The people are rattled. Caleb literally has to calm everybody down. Here's the difference. The 10 spies are focused upon the problem. Caleb and Joshua are focused upon God. Caleb simply had a faith and confidence in the Lord, and he was just a simple obedience. There was no wondering if we should do this and if we should do that and what if and maybe. And that wasn't in Caleb's vocabulary. He said, well, God said, go and take the land. Let's go and take the land. 41 has come. Our days of testing are over. Our days of trial are over. The difficulties we had over the last 40 days finding out the land are over. 41's come. Let's go. Yeah, but the thing is, what if? What if what? Nothing's happened yet. Yeah, but what if the giant, what if nothing? You've defeated yourself before you've even taken one step towards victory. Doubt and disobedience to the Lord, that denies the promises of God. It distracts from godly priorities. It delays or discourages disobedience. The evidence of God's promises is right in front of them. You can't dispute the fact that the blessings of God were actually in their very hands. But they refuse to accept it. It's the same today when men reject the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of all the evidence that's set before them. In spite of the undeniable proof of the fact that Christ was a real person. Not in regards to what we have in the scripture, but even in secular history, Christ is a real person. Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. The only two witnesses were needed to verify a fact in biblical times. And yet Christ was seen by over 500 people after the resurrection. Christ is real. His death was real. His burial was real. His resurrection was real. His ascension up to the glories of heaven was real. And his return is real. But yet people fail to accept the evidence that's in front of them. The evidence of the blessings of God was right there. 41 had come. Now was the time to leave those difficulties and those times of testing behind and just move forward for God. But the men that went up with him, with Caleb, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Caleb says, we can't lose. The 10 spies say, we can't win. Psalm 106:24 says, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. When we forget God in our 40 days, I understand our times of difficulties and trials might last longer than 40 days, but you understand what I'm saying when I talk about the 40 days. It's just that period that we're in a time of difficulty, we're in a time of testing. Sometimes when we're in that period, we lose focus on who God is. And we focus more upon our circumstances. When we leave God out of the picture, nothing seems possible. But when God is in full view, nothing seems impossible. God is able, even though we aren't. Do we have the strength for these battles? No, we don't. Do we have the strength to conquer these giants? No, we don't. Do we have the strength to take these strongholds, to take these cities? No, we don't. Do we have the strength to get through these 40 days so that 41 will come? No, we don't. But he does. In our weakness, that's when his strength is seen. If you like, these men were at the perfect, had the perfect opportunity to take that land because they knew they couldn't. But they weren't meant to do it in their strength. They were meant to do it in God's strength. They couldn't, but God could. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Doubt in the Lord will really disable us as his children in our walk. When we doubt the Lord, we are going to find those 40 days really difficult. We are going to feel like 41 will never come. When we doubt the Lord, we start listening to Satan's lies. Satan is the main cause of doubt. Yea, hath God said. You know, you can be doing your Bible reading, you can be like, oh, my days, praise the Lord, 41's coming. We're almost through this trial. We're going to get through this difficulty. God is going to have the victory in my life, and we're going to get through the other side, and we're going to get through this valley, and we're going to get up onto that mountaintop, and one day when 41 comes, we're going to be able to praise God. We're going to look back at this trial and think, oh, I learned so much in that time of difficulty. And then Satan comes and starts sowing doubt. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say 41 will come? Did God say you're going to get through these trials? Are you sure? Isn't it sad that it doesn't cause much, or it doesn't take much to cause us to doubt? Torfer says this all the time. I think I've heard Len say it a couple of times. Measure twice, cut once. You know, I don't know if I should say this now, because it was Julian and Melinda, so I was laying some flooring for Julian and Melinda. Measure twice, cut once. Always in my mind, measure twice, cut once. And I measured it. I was like, oh, did I get that? Measured it again. Did I get that right? Doubt started to creep in. I cut a little bit more off it. Nothing a rug won't cover. I think that rug in the front room looks absolutely lovely. But it doesn't take much for a little bit of doubt to creep in. You're like, oh, you start second-guessing yourself. That won't always cause us problems when we second-guess ourselves. But when we start second-guessing God, that's when the problems arise. You know, we have confidence in his word, and we're like, right, I'm ready to take on the day, and I'm ready to get to 41, and I'm ready to get through these trials. And then Satan comes along and goes, are you sure? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Perhaps that verse wasn't for me. Perhaps I wasn't God speaking to me. Perhaps I wasn't as clear as I thought it was. And perhaps the Lord doesn't want me to have victory. Perhaps the Lord wants me to remain in this state forever. Perhaps this is my lot in life. Perhaps this is where I'm meant to remain for the rest of my life. And Satan say, well, job done. Tick. Satan is the main cause of doubt. Unbelief. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zechariah did not believe the word of the Lord. And as a result, he was dumb until John was born. Unbelief. When we have a doubt in God, when we don't believe God's word as we should, doubt starts to creep into our minds, and then we start to have a secular approach towards the word of God, and then we start to have an analytical approach towards the word of God. Instead of just reading God's word by faith, we start to try and analyze it and dissect it, and then we start to not believe it. It's God's word. It doesn't mean we've got to understand it. But if we start to not believe this word, then we'd just be in a whole world of doubt. Reasoning. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. When we try to start reasoning everything out, the 10 spies, that's what they're doing. They're reasoning how, well, the thing is, you know, I know God has said to do this and to, you know, and to go into the land, but if we do that, then we'll have to face these enemies, and then we'll have to try and conquer this city, and then we'll have to try and scale that wall, and then we'll have to try and defeat that giant there, and we'll have to try and defeat the... They just started reasoning. They're no longer walking by faith. And doubt has just crept into their lives. James said, well, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do we spend the whole 40 days of our time of trial and testing thinking, 41 will never come? This is never going to get any better. I'm never going to get out of this rut. I'm never going to get to the light at the end of that tunnel. I'm never going to get out of this valley. I'm never going to see the mountaintop. 41 will never come. God will never give me the victory. God will never get me out of these trials. God will never give me the grace that I need in these trials. God doesn't have the power to get me through this difficulty. God does not care. Is that how we spend our 40 days saying that 41 will never come? So how do we cope with doubt? How do we get rid of doubt? How do we dispel doubt? How many of you have ever RSVP'd to anything? You know what an RSVP is? Respondez, s'il vous plaît. It's a really, really posh thing to stick on a wedding to say, look, we don't want to pay for any guests that are not going to come. That's basically all it means. So how do we dispel doubt? Not by RSVP, but by RSYP. Read. Read. Read your Bible. Study God's words. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Romans says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we spend the time in God's word, then we will know and have the confidence that 41 will come. Read the word. You know, it's not rocket science. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you will grow. That's it. Theology in a child's chorus. Read your Bible. If we read our Bible, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That'll dispel doubt. S, serve. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If we're serving God as we should, then that doubt will go. But the problem is, as soon as we get into that time of testing, as soon as we get into that time of trial, as soon as we get into that time of difficulty, we then suddenly become a Christian hermit. And we shrink back. We no longer want to serve the Lord. I'm going through a time of trial. I'm going through a time of difficulty. I don't want to be in church. I don't want to be around other Christians. I don't want to. And we just regress. And then we don't serve the Lord. And what happens then is that doubt just gets worse. We second guess everything. But we need to be reading the word. We need to be serving the Lord. We need to be yielding. Commit thy way unto the Lord, Psalm 37:5 says, trust also in him and he will bring it to pass. Now look, when I was growing up as a child, I never once sat down with mum and dad. You know, as a toddler, I never got mum and dad in the kitchen and sat them down at the breakfast and said, right, mum and dad, I've brought you here today now. Just, I know I'm only 4 years of age, but I just wanted to double check. How are you doing financially? Can you meet the mortgage payment? Is, you know, are we in any kind of risk of losing the house? I noticed that we no longer shop in Marks and Spencer anymore. You've moved the car for to the Philly. Any particular reason for that? Is St. Michael's, you know, no longer affordable for you anymore? Is it a reason why we've gone to more of a European type of budget shop? I've noticed you started using a lot of candles lately. Are we struggling to pay the bills? I'm just asking out of curiosity because I'm a little bit worried. I've noticed we started walking a lot more. You don't look like the healthiest of fans. So are we walking because we can't afford to put petrol in the car? Those type of questions don't ever cross a child's mind. You wake up in the morning, there's clothes in the wardrobe. You don't know where they come from. You go downstairs, there's food in the cupboards. Sometimes, if you were good enough, there'd even be food on the table. You don't have to fend for yourself.
The lights were always on. The TV always worked.
As a child, you never questioned what was going on or how they were ever going to hope to make ends meet. So why not as a child of God? Why don't we have the same childlike faith as we yield to Him? Why do we always say, well, God, I know you said you're going to get me through this, but are you sure you can do that? Are you positive you've got enough power to do that? Are you sure you've got enough grace to hand out to me in this time of need? Are you sure you've got enough strength to go around for everybody? Are you sure you can make ends meet from a spiritual point of view to get me through to 41? We need to read, we need to serve, we need to yield, we need to pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy 2:8. We need to pray. 41 will come. Caleb knew that. Caleb wasn't worried about the giants. Caleb was more worried about the grasshoppers than he was about the giants, because it was the grasshoppers that were going to defeat them and not the giants. Caleb knew that 41 would come. Caleb basically said in verse 6 of chapter 14, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Caleb had a completely different attitude to the 10 spies. In those 40 days that they were searching out the land, the 10 spies were thinking, oh, this is scary. They were scared in case they got caught. They were scared because of what they saw. They were scared because of the situation they were in. They were scared because of what would happen at the end of their trial period, as it were. But Caleb and Joshua had a different attitude. They were looking at things from a completely different point of view. While these 10 men were dreading 41 coming, Caleb and Joshua were like, happy days, let's go. Let's receive the promises of the Lord. Let's take God at His word. God's would provide. And Caleb knew that. Caleb was simply, and Joshua, simply trusting the Lord. See, oftentimes we view our problems as so big that we can do nothing about it. But what we need to do is view God as so big so that our problems look so minute. The 10 spies looked at those giants and thought they were too big to hit, but Caleb said they were too big to miss. Caleb was saying 41 will come. Caleb simply saw things from God's point of view. Would the disciples ever have known that the Lord Jesus Christ could walk on water if they'd never gone through the storm? Would Mary and Martha have known that Jesus Christ could raise the dead unless Lazarus had died first? We will never know what God can do until we start facing some giants in our lives. But 41 will come. One day those problems will be over. Let's not allow every bump in the road to cause us defeat and discouragement. Let's see those obstacles as an opportunity to grow in the Lord. The 10 spies didn't suddenly become negative when they stood before Moses. They'd already made a decision in their heart 40 days previously. Nah, we can't do this. Let's just get through the next 40 days and let's just get back home. The decision happened in that 40. They'd already made up their mind that 41 would never come. They didn't trust the Lord, even though there was an abundance of blessings at 41. They could have had stability. They could have had supply. They could have had plenty. They would eventually go on to complain even about the manna that the Lord gave them, that they referred to it as loathing this light bread. 41 was coming and they could have enjoyed God's rest and His provision and His fellowship and His joy. But they failed to enjoy what God had for them at the end of that particular trial. And then they would go through an even worse trial. And guess what? They would still face the same walled cities, but just further down the road. I know you're saying, well, they didn't go into the land because it was the next generation. But how incredible that Caleb and Joshua got to receive the promises that God made for them, to them, even if it was delayed. Can I say this tonight? 41 will come. Whatever it is that you are facing right now, whatever difficulty it is you are going through right now, 41 will come. And we have a choice. We can see the issue that we're going through right now as being so big that we'll never be able to get over it, or we can view God as being so big that our problem seems as nothing. How big do the giants look from God's point of view? Can I say this to you? That if you're flying in a plane, somebody down on the ground, whether he's 10 foot or 4 foot, looks exactly the same. A giant is nothing in God's eyes. But we come up to those problems and we think, we can't do it. But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. 41 will come. Don't doubt the Lord. Because if we doubt the Lord, we'll be defeated on day one. And in that regards, 41 will never come. Trust the Lord. Read. Serve. Yield. Pray. Dispel doubt. And 41 will come. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Father, you know the hearts and needs of every person here tonight and those listening online. Father, I just pray that you would help us in those times of difficulty in our lives. Father, many times we can defeat ourselves before we've even set foot on the battlefield, as it were. Father, help us to not have that doubt in you, to not doubt your words, to not doubt your presence or your purpose in our lives. Father, help us to be more like Caleb and Joshua than the 10 spies who were defeated before they even stepped foot in the promised land on that first day. Father, we just pray that you would help us to recognize that every single difficulty we face will indeed have an end. And that 41 will come. Help us to not doubt, but help us to simply have a childlike faith in our incredible God. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. What we'll do, I'm going to ask Sibby to come at this time. We'll do two verses of our next hymn, and then following that, we'll come around the Lord's table, and then I wonder if I tell you what, if you can play the whole song for us, and then we'll repeat the verse then after communion. Is that okay? Thank you.
have paid my ransom. How incredible to think that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. So unworthy, so undeserving. How incredible God's grace is that Christ would